Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to another service here at Unity Center of Light. I'm Reverend Millage Mosby.
And I'm Pamela Mosby.
And we look forward to bringing you the service today. Actually, today is the first day we're doing a combination in-person and hybrid Zoom. So hopefully you have gotten the email on that and you either chose to be in person or you chose to be on Zoom. Either way, we look forward to bringing you this service today. So, again, that was the most important thing, to let you know that that's going on. And we're going to get started with Pamela.
Thanks. Okay. Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop the potential of their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me as we affirm our mission and foundation statements together. Let's begin with the mission statement. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine potential. We teach there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. And now let's affirm our foundation statement together. There is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the Good, Omnipotent. Amen. Now we have our daily word reading for today, Sunday, July the 10th. The key word is generous, and the affirmation is, as I give, I share God's abundance. The limitless resources of infinite spirit flow through my loving heart and clear mind as a never-ending supply of divine ideas. I always have all that I need to live abundantly, and I share my abundance with others joyfully and freely. I give generously of my resources, talents, and skills, happy to support those I care about. I am generous with praise, gratitude, and encouragement. I give generously of my time. I am a good friend, a devoted family member, and a compassionate listener. Whenever I give without thought of reciprocation, I center myself in the divine flow. I am a grateful, trusting recipient of Spirit's unfailing generosity and a conduit through which all of God's blessings flow. The scripture is taken from Proverbs 11:25, and it reads, "A generous person will be enriched, and one who gives water will get water." Amen. And now we will have the Sunday message with Reverend Butch.
Thank you, hon. So today's lesson, we have, there's a lot that's going into this lesson today. And, you know, I know that when I do some of the PowerPoints, sometimes they have a lot of information on them. There are quotes that I, you know, would ordinarily just read to you, but the fact that we can do it this way where you can read them with me, I'd just like to, you know, be able to share all of these ideas with you. So if we get to a PowerPoint and it seems too much for you, just close your eyes and listen. But I know the note takers, you know, always want to go back and be able to pull this information out for more study. So with that in mind, you know, we're doing this, that title of talk is The Divine Opening is Upon Us. And a lot of this title has to do with the fact that, you know, there's a lot going on right now that just makes these very, very uncertain times, you know. And so this idea the divine opening is upon us, and we could also say, you know, from all practical purposes, you can say the divine opening is upon me, the divine opening is upon you. You know, this title is referring to the uncertain times we're in and how we must prepare for a divine opening within ourselves. And we're going to really get into that in this lesson. So in these uncertain and undefinable times, it is by living from our divinity that we'll be able to remain sane as we negotiate our way through the undefined frontier that we're in. Joseph Campbell wrote in his book, Goddesses, Mysteries of the Feminine Divine, and this is what he said. He says, I have read somewhere of an old Chinese curse. May you be born in an interesting time. Well, this is an interesting time. There are no models for anything that is going on. It's a period of free fall into the future, and each of us has to make his or her own way. The old models are not working, and we all know this. We've been hearing this. And the new have not yet appeared. In fact, it is we who are even now shaping the new models that are to come. And that is the whole sense of the present challenge. We, now this is interesting, we are the ancestors of an age to come. We are the unwitting generators of myths that will shape the lives of generations to come. Okay. And again, I thought that was a powerful expression of where we are right now. And if you think of the word myth as meaning a story, especially one concerning the earlier history of a people, that's why it's saying we are the ancestors of the times that will come. But if you think about that, you know, this earlier myth is an earlier history of a people, you can begin to see how that we are, what we're trying to do right now, we're trying to find this new way of being, okay, this still undefined paradigm. And we will each have our stories of what this experience meant to us. And as we tell those stories to our great-grandchildren and great-great-great-grandchildren, or, you know, however long we're around, but as those stories are told, you know, those will become the myths of this time, okay? In an article called, and I think April sent me this article, it's called Hold Those Truths to Be Self-Evident. It's written by Jim Lockhart. It's a very new article, July 6, 2022. And he wrote, we are in a long stretch of liminal space. Liminal space. Liminal space is the in-between phase of transformational change. Okay? And he says, what used to work doesn't anymore. And we have no one to show for it. Okay? So, you know, we're always trying to do something different. Like today, we're trying to do this combination in-person Zoom session, which is very challenging. Most churches are doing in-person and streaming. Okay, that's a whole different category. But an in-person Zoom session to try to create community is a much heavier technical challenge. But we're trying, you know, we're trying it out. You know, so this is why it's so critical to be spiritually sound in times such as this, okay? And Jim Lockhart goes on to say this. He explains, it's time for spiritual warriors to emerge, people with healthy self-concepts and the capacity to envision positive change and work towards it. We are called upon to become psychologically enlarged so that we can express our natural power with love and compassion, but also with strength and resiliency. Those who are in fear, now this is important, those who are in fear will fight those who recognize the need to make difficult sacrifices in lifestyles and perspectives, which are required if we are to co-create a stable and sustainable humanity for and a planet for that will work for all of us, okay? For all of us to live on. And you can see the battles that are going on with the different groups in this country, okay? It will take a great deal of mental clarity and emotional and spiritual strength to stay the course towards healing. And again, a lot of information on one slide, but, you know, that's a real powerful expression of what we're going through right now. And basically, we are the spiritual warriors engaged in the work of envisioning positive outcomes as we develop a new way or new ways of being in the world. Okay, and we're going to talk about this. We're going to give you nine practices to develop your ability to envision positive outcomes. So again, as Jim Lockhart expressed, a healthy self-concept is required when embarking upon the work of discovering and creating new lifestyle constructs. And it's all part of the journey we've been talking about all along, which is a continuous journey towards discovering the truth about ourselves. And it is through the discovery of this truth that we will find the mental clarity and emotional and spiritual strength to stay the course towards healing. Not only the healing of ourselves, but everyone our lives touch, okay? So our challenge, as Jim Lockhart is explaining in his article, is that we're trying to determine how do we create new lifestyle paradigms now that the old ones have been disrupted. Okay? Now, you know, we can attempt to do this with our ego-driven intellects, okay? And I think that's a lot of what's happening. We're trying to come up with these new paradigms with our ego-driven intellects. Or, as spiritually endowed truth seekers, which will, you know, if we do that from that perspective, as spiritually endowed truth seekers, this will allow us to remain open to divine guidance that will lead us into what is next for humanity and for our individual lives. So this is a quest that will allow us to understand the true nature of our being, especially now that our old lifestyle constructs have been disrupted. Okay, all of the spiritual work we've been studying is, you know, is essential to our being able to receive the guidance we need to bring clarity to the lack of clarity in our lives right now. Okay, Psalm 82, verses 5-6, speaks to what happens when we lack spiritual clarity. And this is what that verse says. They have neither knowledge nor understanding. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are shaken. And that's what has happened in the last two and a half years. All the foundations of the earth are shaken. And even though I say to you, you are gods, the eachness of the allness that God is, all of you, nevertheless, you shall die like mere mortals and fall like any prince. Okay. And, you know, you always got to like interpret scriptures. That part that says, you shall die like mere mortals, is referring to the fact that up to this point in our experience, we have not been able to really accept the truth about our divinity. Nor do we really understand how it is possible that we're divine. You know, we will say we're divine, we'll declare that we're divine, but do we really know in the core of our being that we are divine? Or even, you know, part of it is this idea of not understanding how we are divine. It was because we do not really understand how to make it work in our everyday lives. But still, Jesus tried to get us to understand it when he quoted in John 10:34. It was a scripture he took from the Old Testament, which is Psalm 82:6. He said to the people who questioned him, he says, "Is it not written in your law that I said you are gods?" Meaning we have a divine reality within us just waiting for us to become consciously aware of it. Okay? Not intellectually aware, but truly consciously aware of it. But again, what does that mean? This idea that we are divine. What does that mean to us from a practical, everyday perspective? Okay? So without knowing what to do with that information, it's legitimate for us to think to ourselves, so what? You say I'm divine, but so what? Okay? You know, what am I to do? What do you want me to do with that information? Okay? And that's what we're going to talk about. So with all of the limited, often unverifiable ideas of our divinity, okay? We hear all of these ideas, okay, about our unverifiable divinity. You know, but we have that pressed up against the emotional boundaries we have imprisoned ourselves within. So we're trying to say, well, I'm divine, but at the same time, we have these emotional boundaries that we're trying to break free of. So we're often hard-pressed to believe that we are anything other than human beings limited to the human experience. Meaning you see on the news about gas prices, food prices, the economy, and so forth, and we just feel, you know, almost constricted to that outside expression of who we are. And we're told that we are like gods, but again, what does that mean on a practical, everyday basis? However, the secret to our becoming truly divine aware may be in understanding the nature of God and how the name reveals the truth about ourselves. So we can understand the name God and how that name reveals about truth about ourselves, we may be able to get a better glimpse of this of our own divinity. So remember, the word name means nature. So by understanding the nature of God, we may be better able to understand the nature of ourselves. So to help us with this exploration into our God image and likeness, I transcribed a Deepak Chopra explanation of the nature and creation of a hologram. Okay, he was giving a talk, and I was, you know, I transcribed this talk to share it with you. So, to begin this explanation, it's important to understand that a hologram has the root word holo, which is borrowed from the Greek meaning whole or entire. And it sounds like and is similar to the meaning of the word hallowed in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Meaning wholeness is thy nature. So, if wholeness is God's nature, is this possibly another clue to the truth about our nature? So listen to these notes I transcribed from Deepak on the creation of the nature of a hologram. He said, you can take a hologram and break it into billions of pieces, then take the smallest piece, put a laser beam through it, and you will get the full three-dimensional holographic image. In other words, every part of the hologram contains the whole. That is why it's called a hologram. And each part of the hologram is all of the hologram, containing all the information in the hologram. Now, Deepak goes on to explain that our bodies are like holograms of the universe. We are three-dimensional projections of the universe. Now, if we believe that God is the one power and one presence that is the universe, then we can surmise and possibly believe that we are projections or holograms of God. We're not the whole of God, as we say in, you know, unity, we're the eachness of the allness, an individual expression of the divine whole. So metaphorically, each of us is an infinite piece of the allness of God. And consequently, every cell in our bodies has within it the knowledge and wisdom of the whole universe. So Deepak goes on to explain further, we have the entire memory of the whole universe and its mechanics of manifestation recorded in our cellular structure. We need to ask ourselves, what does the knowledge of this information mean to me? Do I believe it? Do I believe I have the whole information of the universe in every cell of my body? Do I believe in it? If so, am I going to incorporate this belief into my thinking in my everyday life and affairs? And we're going to talk about how to do that as we move along. So there is an old East Indian saying, we are always trying to learn when all we have to do is remember. So what we're striving to remember is that the kingdom of God is the universal language that is present in every cell of our body, because we are a holographic projection of the universe, of God, making us the eachness of the allness. And because we are a continuously connected, aspect of the body of God, as we used to say, we are the wave in the ocean, then God cannot be without each one of us, and we cannot be without God. So again, what does this all mean? And I'm going to keep asking this question on a practical, everyday level. So if I truly believe that I am an individual expression of the omnipotent, omniscient, one power, one presence that God, you know, is, the whole universe, then this notion would become the focus of my attention and the focus of my intention as I approach the affairs of my life. I would be mindful of my divine connection and my everyday life and affairs if I truly believe this. Then when the events of this world try to, you know, divert my attention to the illusion of importance of lesser matters, I would be able to bring my attention back to I am. And from this I am consciousness, from which all knowledge and wisdom flows, I would know that I'm being guided through the affairs of my life, peacefully and harmoniously. Okay. So again, in the words of Deepak, He says our essential nature is that we are pure potentiality, pure consciousness, pure being. As pure potentiality, we are timeless, spaceless, uncaused, and non-local. We are the source of time, space, and locality. Our actions are within the sphere of time, space, and causation. Now listen to this, because I'm going to give you a Bible verse to back this up. Our actions are within the sphere of time, space, and causation, but we are beyond space, time, and causation. Okay? So the way Jesus put it, he says, he explained what he says, what Deepak said, it was found in John 8:23-24. He says, you are from below. You are in time, space. You're mentally locked into that. I am from above. I am above that. You are of this world. I am not of this world. But he also said, all that I say about myself is also true about you. Okay? But again, none of this can really make any sense to us in the mindset that we presently function in. So a lot of the work we're doing is to shift our mindset. However, the idea that a divine opening is upon us challenges us to do the work that will lead to understanding our true nature and the divinity that exists within us. And this work has to do with having the courage to live as if we knew with certainty that God is actively present in every aspect of our lives. So another quote from the article, "We Hold These Truths to Be Self-Evident," by John Lockhart, to help us to understand the work before us. This is what he says. There is a concept in psychology which has a metaphysical truth within it. The idea is that we cannot build anything with true integrity if we begin with a false pretense. One premise, thank you, sweetie. One lacking in integrity, or one which has outgrown its usefulness. When we do not address our false premises, or we deny them, or try to cover them over with polite behavior, the repressed shadow qualities do not dissolve. They go underground. In the individual, they go into the subconscious. In the collective, they go into the collective unconscious. In both cases, they remain active as behind-the-scenes players in our subsequent actions and experiences. Again, a lot, but I hope, you know, that was impactful to understand that idea that we've got to move forward with integrity, that we truly do want to discover and act from the divinity within us. So the question to ask ourselves is, as I embark on this spiritual quest to discover the truth about myself, am I in integrity? Meaning, am I really ready and willing to be changed at the core of my being? Or am I holding on to my old fears and beliefs that I am not, you know, ready and willing to let go of? You know, we've got this old stuff that's going on. We're just not really ready to let go of it. Even though we know that we have outgrown the usefulness of our old fears and beliefs. So the question for each of us to explore is, what is really going on inside of me? Okay. This is a question we must each ask ourselves to prepare ourselves to receive the divine opening that is upon us. Now, Pamela and I, this past Wednesday, we sat in the first of four sessions introducing the work of mindfulness. Okay. And we're using this as a method of helping us to really begin to move forward with integrity and have ways of practicing this idea of living from our divinity. But the facilitator asks the question, what is the differences between mindfulness and meditation? Now, when I heard the question, I realized I had not thought of the differences between them. My only thought as I've worked with both of these modalities over many years is the impact they have on opening my consciousness to become more receptive and intentional in my work to live in constant communication with the divine, okay? I wasn't thinking of them as being differences. I was just thinking of being tools in order to help me to make that divine connection. So after that session, I went to Deepak Chopra's website, to gain more insight into the practices of mindfulness and how it can assist all of us on this journey to spiritual self-discovery, a journey we talk about in every Sunday lesson, okay? So this is an explanation of mindfulness from Deepak Chopra found on his website. He says, mindfulness is a simple act of paying attention and noticing and being present in whatever you are doing. When you are being actively mindful, you are noticing the world around you, as well as your thoughts, feelings, and behaviors, movements, and the affects you have on others around you. You can practice mindfulness anytime, anywhere, and with anyone by being fully engaged in the here and now. Many people go after their daily lives with their minds wandering from the actual activity they are participating in to other thoughts, desires, fears, and wishes. When you are mindful, when you're mindful, you're actively involved in activity with all of your senses in the present moment, gently bringing yourself back to the task at hand instead of allowing your mind to wander. Okay. Now, if you think about that, you know, I think this explanation is not new, because we've used Thich Nhat Hanh's, expressions of this before, and he basically talks about the same thing. Okay. But, you know, it's relevant to our quest for greater spiritual awareness, you know, and it's very critical. Critical enough to hear it again and again as we do our personal work to prepare ourselves for the divine opening of our heart, mind, soul, and spirit. So, here's where we're going to move into some work. To help us with this process, we're going to look at the 9 key attributes of mindfulness. From Jon Kabat-Zinn. He is the founder of the mindfulness-based stress reduction clinic. Okay, and we're looking at these mindfulness practices as a way to help us prepare ourselves for a divine awakening. Okay, now there are 9 of these. Right, and again, I'm putting them in slide form because there are people. We have a lot of note takers, which I really love, in Unity, who want to take notes and work with these ideas. So we're going to go through these fairly quickly, but you do have them to go back to, when you want to look at, review them in more depth. Okay, so the first one, mindful attributes of being non-judgmental. Okay, so what that means is mindfulness is cultivated by assuming the stance of an impartial witness to your own experience. You're going through stuff. Instead of going through angst or joy or whatever, you're just watching yourself go through this process. Become aware of the constant stream of judging and reacting to inner and outer experiences as that are occurring within you. So that takes a self-observation, say it with me, without condemnation. Okay. So the next one, mindful attributes of patience. Oh, thank you, sweetie. Yeah. Mindful attitudes of patience. So patience is a form of wisdom. Patience is a form of wisdom. Okay? It demonstrates that we understand and accept the fact that sometimes things must unfold in their own way and in their own time. And it's saying, allow for this to happen. Now, we would call this divine timing. Allow things to happen in divine timing. Or you heard the scripture say it, in God's time. Okay? So that's what that idea of patience is. And working towards living from a mindful state. Okay? Now the next one is the mindful attitudes I should have been having a beginner's mind. Okay? So you have a beginner's mind. Okay? The richness of present moment experience is the richness of life itself. So that's why mindfulness is about, if you're washing the dishes, you're mindful of just washing the dishes. If you're eating, you're mindful of every bite. Years ago, I can't think of his name now, but a weightlifter was talking about when you're doing curls, your mind is actually focused on that bicep muscle. You're not thinking about anything else. You're focused on what you are doing. Okay? And too often we let our thinking and our beliefs about what we know prevent us from seeing things as they really are. So we think we know what's happening, but in mindfulness, you allow yourself to be able to see what's really going on. And we tend to take ordinary for granted and fail to grasp the extraordinariness of the ordinary. That was a mouthful. And to see the richness of the present moment, we need to cultivate what is being called a beginner's mind, a mind that's willing to see everything as it is for the first time, or as we used to say, without past history. You're just being in the present moment. So the next one, mindful attitudes of trust. Okay, developing a basic trust in yourself and your feelings is an integral part of meditation training. Developing a basic trust in yourself and in your feelings, okay, is an integral part of meditation training. So it's far better to trust in your intuition, and we've been talking about that a lot. Trust in your intuition and your own authority, even if you make some mistakes along the way, than to always look outside of yourself for guidance. Now, this is how you develop, because people will say, well, how do I know this, if that's me or God? Okay, this is how you develop that ability. You have some trust in your intuition, okay, and in your own authority, meaning your decision to move forward on that intuition. And if you make some mistakes along the way, that's okay, because the fact that you are working at it, you will eventually get better and better at understanding what are the messages from God that you're receiving. Okay, so the next one, mindful attitudes of non-striving. It says almost everything we do is for a purpose. It's always either to get something or to get somewhere. You know, it's always some driven purpose. But in the attitudes of mindfulness, this striving attitude can be a real obstacle. That is because meditation is different from all other human activities. Although it takes a lot of work and energy of a certain kind, ultimately, meditation is non-doing. So it says it takes a lot of work to function from this consciousness of mindfulness, okay? But in essence, as you've seen from the ones we've gone through already, it's really about non-doing. It has no goal except for you to be yourself. And the irony is that you are already enough, okay? I hope you're writing some of these down so we can have discussion on them in the session, because I think there's a lot that we can look at with these, okay? All right, so mindful attitudes of acceptance. So acceptance means seeing things as they actually are in the present. Sooner or later, we have to come to terms with things as they are and accept them. Now, I know that's a hard one. So if that's really a hard one for you, bring it up in a discussion in the Zoom session so we can talk about it, okay? Now, often acceptance is only reached after we have gone through very emotional, filled periods of denial and then anger. So we go through those periods, which is okay. But then after that, we're able to accept that experience and what it did for us, how it helped us to grow, how it helped us to awaken some more, okay? So now the next one, attitudes of letting go, okay? When we pay attention to our inner experience, we discover there are certain thoughts, emotions, and situations our mind wants to hold on to. I know everybody can relate to that. And it's saying, let your experience be what it is right now. Pay attention to the experience. And I have some recent examples in my own life that I can share in the Zoom discussion. All right, and the next one, mindful attitudes of gratitude. Now, our thoughts can actually trigger, this is carefully, our thoughts can actually trigger psychological changes. Our thoughts can actually trigger physiological changes in our body that affect our mental and physical health, okay? And we all know this, right? Basically, what you think about affects how you feel, both emotionally and physically. So if you increase your positive thoughts, like gratitude, you can increase your subjective sense of well-being, as well as perhaps objective measures of physical health. So it's saying by changing our attitudes, our mindsets, we can actually affect our body and bring about changes in health in our body, changes in our thinking, okay? So again, another mindfulness practice. Okay, now the last one here, mindful attitudes of generosity. Now this is a good one. A good place to start with generosity is with yourself. Give yourself gifts that are true blessings, such as self-acceptance, you know, accepting yourself as you are, okay? Or sometime, you know, each day, you know, take some time each day with no purpose at all. You know, like the story I think I told of my brother-in-law said his wife came upon his friend and her husband and said, you know, honey, you've been sitting there all day doing nothing. And he goes, that's right, and I'm not done yet, okay? He was taking a whole day for himself, all right? So practice being generous with the feelings of being deserving enough to accept these gifts without obligation or guilt, okay? Allow yourself to just simply receive from yourself and from the universe. Okay? So again, 9 practices you can use. You've got the slides for them. You can go back through them. You know, pick out the ones you want. If you have some questions about them, you want to bring up in the discussion after this, after the meditation, I'd be excited to do that. That's what helps bring these ideas come to life. Okay. So I'm going to end this with this affirmation for today's with today's science of mind. And it says, I am grateful to be alive and to be aware that I am now my own true self. I build my sense of self-love with every thought. I forgive anything in my past that led me to see myself in a limited way. And so it is. And now we're going to have meditation with Pamela.
So today we have a guided prosperity meditation. Let's begin this moment by taking in a deep breath and settling in to being our coming ye apart a while. Take in another deep breath, focusing your mind on the rising and lowering of your chest and the expansion and contraction of your lungs. What a miracle breathing is. We don't have to make ourselves breathe. It's a natural part of our physiology. One more time, breathe in and out, closing your eyes if you wish to do so. In this time of quiet reflection, take a moment to relax your body from the top of your head to the bottom of your toes. Allow your day to slow down as you take these next few moments to become centered and breathe. As you follow your breath, let go. Quiet your thoughts by simply acknowledging them and letting them drift by. You can say silently, thank you, God, or simply think the word peace and allow your mind to rest as the still small voice within comes into your awareness. Thoughts of prosperous living, gratitude, and abundance in all forms flow through you now. Feelings of peace and plenty, a rich and abundant life, wash over you. Life itself breathes you, loves you, prospers you. Your thoughts and feelings go deeper into the still, small voice within as it guides you to your highest good. Prosperity is yours as you let go and trust God completely for the good desires of your heart. Take the following words as your own. Abundant good is flowing to me, through my positive words and thoughts and actions. I am now in the flow of life. I move easily with the flow, in joy and gratitude. I enthusiastically say yes to my good. Now let us gently move into the secret place of the Most High. Use this time to pray, receive answers to your prayers, and to become even more still. And now take another deep breath in and exhale, and gently move back into your day, free from fear and concern, moving forward in the flow of life, unhurried and unworried, one with the flow. You open the way of infinite blessings of spirit. We are so grateful, Holy Spirit, that you have heard our prayers and answered them as always. We say thank you in the name and nature of our elder brother and way shower, Jesus the Christ. Amen. And so it is, and forever shall be.
That was great, honey. So this is the time we come, we open our hearts and minds to allow some of the treasure that flows into our personal life to flow into our spiritual home. I ask you to hold your offering in your hand, in your mind, in your heart, as we say our offering blessing together.
We bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings as they go forth to continue the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light.
Amen. And you have light notes?
Yes. So next Sunday, July 17th, we'll have our guest speaker. His name is Reverend Ron Karstetter, and our musician is Safi. Don't miss this service. We have lots of interesting speakers coming up, too. So check your e-newsletter and updates. The next Women of Unity get-together is on Saturday, July 30th at 2:30 p.m., and it'll be at the home of Joyce Phillip in Crofton. The theme is Where I'm From. Masks required when entering the home and then removed while eating. This will be a potluck, so please email me to let me know if you will attend and what you will be bringing. If you are with us live today, you can let me know after the service. We invite you to join us for our first trip back to Cape and Springs since COVID. The dates are September 9th through the 11th. We arrange this trip with you in mind. Please see the fillable registration form in your updates and e-newsletter. All payments are due by August the 12th. And for folks in person today, registration forms are available today at our service. Fillable forms are available in your updates or your newsletter. And the final announcement is Children's Church now has their own Zoom link. Please check your updates for the link. And that's it for announcements.
All right, so now it is time
to bless the path that we each will walk this week. We're going to say our affirmation with passion, zeal, and gusto together. I go forward in the spirit of the Lord, knowing my way is made easy, joyous, healthy, and prosperous, and I am grateful.
And now let's go right into our prayer for protection.
The light of God surrounds us. I am light. The love of God enfolds us. I am love. The power of God protects us. I am power. The presence of God watches over us. I am presence. Wherever we are, God is. I am divine, and all is well. And that's the truth.
All right. So it's been our pleasure to bring you this service today. And if you are fortunate enough to be in the in-person or the Zoom after this, we look forward to talking with you and have a discussion about the lesson today, and also to listen to some great music. So other than that, have a wonderful week.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.